Boy, great to have you back with us. Updating the Philly-Washington score, you know, they've got two today, and Philly's, if they win one, it's it for the Giants. Washington's up 6-1, and in the fourth inning, the Phillies got three, so they're still batting in the top of the fourth. Washington on top of the Phillies, 6-4. Well, we're going to go to St. Louis and bring in Katie Wu, who writes for The Athletic, Bay Area own. Katie Wu, what a season you've had. Covering the Cardinals. Katie, it's great to have you with us. Thanks for being on. But my goodness, what more could you ask for?
I think you've said it perfectly, Marty. One, it's so nice to hear from you. But two, what a season in St. Louis. When I think about how to describe their regular season success, the word storybook seems to come to mind. Albert Pujols back with the Cardinals, Yadier Molina's final season, potential MVP with Paul Goldschmidt, all under a rookie manager in Ollie Marmol. Certainly is an exciting time in St. Louis. And, you know, when I think over the last 5 months, 5 to 6 months, it's hard to really pick out what moment stands out the most because there have just been so many incredible times.
Well, I think you should write a book.
They certainly are giving me plenty to write about, Marty. That is for sure.
Yeah, no, I think it's a book, honestly. And what's the biggest moment for you this year? What's the biggest part for you?
You know, I think, and my mind changes so often, but I think it has to be Albert Pujols' 700th home run. Just, I think, the 2 months leading up to it after the All-Star break, it was pretty evident to me around August that it wasn't a question of if he would hit 700 home runs. It was a question of when. For him to go back and do it in back-to-back at-bats at Dodger Stadium, the organization that he credited last year for rejuvenating his career, credited them as the reason why he still played baseball in 2022. The appreciation, even though it was on the road, obviously Dodgers fans have a soft spot for Albert because he was so successful with them last season. I thought the whole moment was just incredibly well done and so incredibly Albert Pujols. So to see that, to witness it in real time, very rarely am I left speechless, Marty, but that was certainly a moment that had that effect on me.
Yeah, no, I can just imagine. You know, I've been through a lot of good baseball moments, but when you get one like that, you just never forget it. It's just one of those things. I don't know if you are aware, you must be aware of it. I'm sure it's in the notes, but Elliot Kolker, one of our listeners, sent me an email this morning that Pujols is only 5 RBIs behind Babe Ruth for second place.
Correct.
How about that?
It's funny, Marty. I swear every game there's a different milestone between him, Yadier Molina, and Adam Wainwright. But, of course, anytime you hear the name Babe Ruth, you have to kind of stop and say, wow, are you serious? This is really happening in real time. 5 RBI is certainly attainable with the Cardinals having 5 games left all against the Pirates.
Yeah, boy, that would be – that caught my attention today. If you're second in RBIs, wow. All-time, just behind Henry Aaron and Babe Ruth right now. Big game last night, I thought, for the Cardinals. Very, very important with Flaherty pitching 6 strong innings. How good was he, Katie?
Yeah, I think we're beginning to see a little bit more consistency from Jack Flaherty. Certainly not an ideal season or really last 18 months for the ace of the Cardinals staff. But when you're looking at Jack Flaherty, it's pretty evident that the Cardinals need to find at least 2 starters. They would hope they don't need 3 for a wild card series, but Ollie Marmol has some difficult decisions to make. Seeing Jack notch back-to-back quality starts, you know, he's only made 5 this season with his various injuries. He looked a lot like the Jack Flaherty that the Cardinals have come to expect, and he was able to get the success against the Pirates without having really to rely too heavily on his slider. Now, Jack Flaherty's bread and butter really is his fastball-slider combination, but he used a lot of curveballs last night. Kept the Pirates hitters off balance, only went to the slider occasionally. But to me, that was a good sign of his adaptability, the fact that he was able to still garner significant success against the Pirates without having his best setup pitch. I thought that was a good sign going forward.
So do you trust him? Because, look, Wainwright, you don't know exactly what you're going to get from him. And Flaherty, how do you deal with this?
Yeah, that's a great point because, you know, all season long, if I would have told you, Marty, that come October that the Cardinals were a little bit concerned about Adam Wainwright, that'd be a huge red flag. Luckily, they've had a bunch of pitchers step up. Miles Michaelis is just 2 outs shy of amassing 200 innings and this is his first season back since missing the last 2 with injury. Jose Quintana has been a really formidable gain for them after the trade deadline. He's made 11 starts for the Cardinals, has allowed no more than 2 earned runs in every single one of those starts, and is now among the top 10 in National League ERA leaders. So they do have some weapons there with Miles Michaelis and Jose Quintana. We want to see what Adam Wainwright can do in his final start of the season tomorrow, and what an emotional start that's going to be, the last regular season game at Busch Stadium, and Albert Pujols' career, Yadier Molina's career, not sure about Adam yet. He has not decided what his future holds, at least not publicly. But when you're looking at Adam, certainly a last chance for him to prove that he can handle a start in the wild card series. Ollie Marmol did say, you know, he has not really made up his mind yet. A lot of it will depend on who the Cardinals end up playing in the wild card series, on who starts for them. But there's also an opportunity, Marty, to see some piggybacks, to see maybe, you know, if Adam is being able to show a little bit more consistency, maybe he comes out of the bullpen. Maybe Flaherty comes out of the bullpen. But certainly a lot of things for Ollie Marmol to figure out going forward.
Boy, a lot of choices. So who's hotter right now, Arenado or Goldschmidt?
Oh, great question. I think it depends on the game. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt has been, in my opinion, and arguably the top MVP candidate coming up until September. I know he tapered off a bit, but starting to see a little bit more signs of Goldschmidt being Goldschmidt, working his walks, taking the ball to the opposite field. Nolan Arenado has been just as good. What really remarks me, Marty, is the fact that the running joke last season was that either one was hot, never at the same time. Either Goldschmidt was on fire and Arenado was scuffling or vice versa. But for the majority of the season, they've been able to click together. And it's really made that Cardinals heart of the order very dangerous, especially when you have a resurgent Albert Pujols doing things that he did at age 42, similar to what he did at 22 in batting fifth. So I think it depends on the day, but it's been nice to see the Cardinals click at that heart of the order, something that they missed last year and something that I think has certainly made up for their success over the second half.
Who would you not want to see them play in the first round? Because it's still a jumble as to who's going to get into this thing. Obviously, we know the four team is going to be a good team. But as far as the 5-6 spots, who would you not like to see in that sixth spot?
That's a good question. I mean, it could be at this point, what, San Diego, Philadelphia, and you don't want to count out Milwaukee. And I know Giants fans have not been eliminated yet. So we'll put them in there just for the sake of for the fan base.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome,
you.
Of course. When you're looking at those four teams, I'm a little nervous if the Cardinals are facing the Brewers, because even though the Cardinals won that division pretty handily, they have played the Brewers very tight. Milwaukee, in the 19 games that they've played, Cardinals have just a 10-9 record over Milwaukee. Those have been very tight-knit contests throughout the season. They've seen each other so many times throughout the year that they know their strengths and weaknesses. If you're seeing Milwaukee in a best-of-three series, you're guaranteed to see Corbin Burns game one. Brandon Woodruff has had a really good September. So I'm not sure. I think everything changes. It's a brand new season when we hit the postseason, right? But I do think that the Cardinals and Brewers, if Milwaukee does manage to sneak in there again, only half a game back entering play today, that is not an easy series. I think that's a series that easily goes best of three and one that will require the Cardinals' best baseball to win.
Boy, I think you're right about that. Burns and Woodruff, and you've seen them before, they know how to pitch, and they're right-handers. It looks to me like the lineup is slanted toward right-handed hitters for the Cardinals right now, and maybe you want to see more left-handed pitching.
Absolutely. That's a great point. Dylan Carlson has been a huge part in the Cardinals' success over the last two seasons, but he's tapered off tremendously batting from the left side against right-handed hitters. He's their best outfielder, I think, all-around versatility, especially defensively, including Tyler O'Neill being out on the injured list. Ollie Marmol, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, has sat Dylan Carlson against right-handed pitching because the splits have been so absurd. Now, a good sign for Cardinals fans is that over the last week or so, the quality of at-bats for Dylan against right-handers have been a lot better. He's certainly going to be a part of that platoon. The Cardinals hope that if they do face right-handed pitching, that Dylan's upward success can keep him in the lineup, because through and through, they are a much stronger lineup with Carlson in center field.
Yeah, they're going to have trouble against some right-handed pitching. I could see where the bullpen matchups are going to happen. But Katie Wu with us from The Athletic. Of course, the bullpen guy at the end, he throws, what is he throwing, like 109 now, Halsey? I mean, this guy is an immaculate inning waiting to happen.
Yes, and even did have had an immaculate inning a couple of weeks ago. This is what I'm talking about, Marty, when I say there's no shortage of storylines with this Cardinals team. What Ryan Helsley has been able to do, he missed most of the second half last season with various injuries. He's come back and cemented himself as an all-star, first time in his career, one of the top relievers in baseball. Has the hardest thrown pitch in baseball this year at 104.2 miles per hour. He's been electric. And what I really like about Ryan Helsley's role is when you think closer, you think traditionally he's coming in for the ninth inning, but we've seen manager Ollie Marmol deploy him in the seventh inning or eighth inning, depending on the matchup and what the manager perceives to be the most imperative part or high leverage part of the game. So it isn't very, it's pretty often actually that we see Helsley come in the eighth against the opposing team's heart of the order, bridge the gap there, and then Giovanni Gallegos takes over, usually the middle inning hold guy. He'll actually get the ninth for the save. But what Ryan Helsley has been able to do, he is just nasty. Marty, I mean, he's given up less than five earned runs on the road all season, and it is October 1st.
Well, Katie, you do a great job. We want you back in the Bay Area. You know that.
Maybe one day. I know.
You do a fabulous job. Thanks for being on, and this will be a lot of fun to talk to you as the playoff unfolds. Thanks, Katie.
Yes, Marty, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Always. As Katie Wu does a great job for The Athletic covering the Cardinals. Now it's time for the week's Community Spotlight, sponsored by Chilton Auto Body with 15 locations to serve you. This month's spotlight is on the San Francisco Foster Youth Fund.